Well, good morning. I want you to know that I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you as a congregation. I've been noticing some things over the past months that have really stuck out in my mind. First and foremost, when Amanda's and Tammy's father died, we have just an overwhelmingly amount of cards expressing your sympathy and your thought for us on behalf of the loss of Amanda and Tammy's father. And I want to say thank you for that and the love that you've shown to us. But then as I was without half of me while Amanda was down south, my other half is gone, I had to busy my time in things other than staying at home because that was just lonely. So as I was going around out in the community visiting people, I saw a great deal of, I would happen to be at someone's house when other members of the church would just show up, uninvited, just, hey, we're just out visiting, thought I would say hey. But not only that, as I was journeying around, I saw people who had projects that they had. I had some projects myself that I got a lot of help on, a lot of help from a lot of you brothers, and I appreciate that. But there were other people have things going on that the members here at the church, without any praise or without any glory or anything for themselves, they gave to one another, to their brothers and their sisters. And not only that, I know there was some spiritual growth to be had with the time that we've spent with one another, not just here at our assembling together, but while we're out in the world. And I just want to say thank you for that. There's a lot of things that go unnoticed by Robert and CB and me. You know, we got a lot of things going on here around the congregation, centered here at the church building, you know, with VBS and some evangelistic outreaches that we have. But I want to say that I'm real proud of you. I'm real proud to be a part of this family. It was one of the things that drew Amanda and I here is the sense of family that we have. And you still haven't let me down in that. And so I just want to say thank you for that. Today, I want to talk a little bit about our showing love for one another. Because as much as we do, we can always do more. We can always learn more about God's love and how we could show that in our lives. And so, if you would, turn to 1 John 3. It's a very interesting passage that's been on my mind for a couple of weeks, and so I thought I would bring that out to us. 1 John 3. :18-24. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and we will assure our hearts before Him in whatever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we have kept His commandments and do the things which are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in Him. We know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Now we're going to look a little deeper at this passage over the next few minutes. But before we go into that, I want to say the very first verse of this, in verse 18, gives us the point of what we're going to be studying today. That we as a church must love in action and from the heart. We must love in action and from the heart. In deed and in truth. And I had to struggle with that truth for a little while because I was wondering, is that talking about the truth? God tells us things that we need to do and that's the truth that it's talking about? But the longer I studied into this, what fits best is this is the truth of ourselves. This is staying true to your heart. Whenever we're loving one another, it's not just doing something that's commanded of us because that's what it's commanded. We are to sincerely want to do the things that we do in showing our love. We have to sincerely desire that. And doing this brings us three things. In loving one another, in deed and in truth, gives us three things. It gives us confidence if our hearts condemn us. It lets us keep His commandments. And it lets us know that we abide in God and God abides in us. And we'll look at those three things just a little bit as we go down through here. Let's read this again. Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him in whatever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. We can have a clean conscience whenever we actively love our brethren. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us that baptism now saves us, giving us an appeal to God for a clean conscience. Whenever we're baptized into the watery grave of baptism, whenever we arise a new creature, we are appealing to God for Him to give us a clean conscience. And Hebrews tells us that He does. He allows us to have a clean conscience, having our sins washed away. So we come up brand new. But as we start living our lives, sometimes we can have guilt come back on us. Sometimes we may have days that we're not feeling very spiritual as people. Sometimes we may get down on ourselves. And John assures us, he says, if you're feeling guilty in your heart, if your heart is condemning you, go out and actively love your brothers. Do something for someone else who is in the family. And when you do that, your heart, you'll have a clean conscience. Before God, you will have a clean conscience because God knows more than what your heart knows. He knows more about His grace and His love and His mercy than you do. Those are things that we don't even understand. Now we have we bank on those things as Christians. We have no hope if we don't have grace and mercy and God's forgiveness. But yet God knows more about His perspective than we do. And he tells John to tell us that if you're feeling guilty conscience, go out and love your brothers. Go out and love them. And then he says, but for those whose heart's in condemning them, in verse 21, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, well, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. We have a confidence to enter into the presence of God as Christians. In the Old Testament, under the old law, the priests were the only ones that could enter into the inner chamber of the temple, but only the high priest once a year could go into the holiest of holies where God was. But now, under the new law, under the new covenant, we have confidence that each and every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ can enter into the presence of God. And we have that confidence. And what gives us that? Showing our love for one another. Loving one another in deed and in truth helps clear our conscience and helps us have confidence to walk into the presence of God. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful gift that God has given us. Well, then number two, it says, we'll start in verse 23, or rather in 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, John, what are His commandments? What are the things that are pleasing in His sight? And he answers us. He says, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. That we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. John says, if we believe in the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, as you're going down the road and you get pulled over by a police officer, and I have to confess, on the way to the fair booth to work, I got pulled over by a police officer. And whenever they turn on them lights and they say, stop in the name of the law, that's by the authority of the law, I have to pull over. I have to stop. That's by their authority. In the name of the law is by their authority. In the name of Jesus Christ, if we believe in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe that He has authority. He told us that in Matthew 28. Well, He told the disciples who ended up recording that for us that all authority is given to Him in heaven and on earth. So Jesus has total authority. And if we believe in that authority, that's going to convince us that we need to obey whatever it is that He commands us. Because He's the authority, just like I pulled over when those lights came on. Whenever Jesus tells me to do something, whenever I read in His Word something that convicts me, I've got to follow it because of His authority. Amen. So number one, you believe in His authority, and we're in verse 23, and love one another just as He commanded us. You see, back in John, we just read it just a minute ago. We'll read it again, John 15. In John 15, while Jesus is sitting around with His disciples, He says, verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And what we have to understand here is this is not some touchy-feely, emotional, kind of like squishy feeling on the inside. This is not the love that we're talking about. Agape love is not some kind of feeling that we have inside. Agape love is described in verse 12 of John chapter 15, or verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has everything to do with you sacrificing yourself for other people's good. That is love. That is true love. And you want to see true love, you look at the example of Jesus, who gave his life for us, who had the authority of being one in the Trinity, in heaven, God, in spirit, and gave up all that to come down here and live like you and me. Isaiah says, who will believe our report? To whom has the strong arm of the Lord been revealed? Jesus looked like one of us. He did not come as a powerful leader. He did not come as an angelic being to whom... And you know what? A lot of people... This is a little sideline issue. Nowadays, people look at angels as, you know, little bitty wings and little Cupid bows and arrows. In the Bible, every time an angel shows up, people drop to the ground. They are powerful. They are majestic, that's the word. They are majestic beings. And anytime humans seen them, they were in awe of angels. But Jesus didn't come like that. Jesus didn't come in that kind of power. Jesus gave up all of his power to come down here and to be our servant. To live as a homeless person who walked around and taught for nothing except the fact that it was the will of his Father. That's love. And when we abide in his love, our joy is made full. That's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 11. Our joy can be made full. If you're feeling bad about yourself, love somebody. Amen. And you'll feel better about yourself. That's the pill for depression. You get depressed, go do something for somebody. It'll help you feel better. So Jesus said it in John 15. Paul also restated it in Galatians 6:2 by saying, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When you bear one another's burdens, that's another way of saying love one another. Because that fulfills Christ's law to us. That fulfills his commandment to us. And then 1 Peter, so Jesus said it, Paul said it, if you need anybody else, Peter also said it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, if I can get there. Since you have in obedience to the truth, purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have not been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Peter tells us also, love one another. That is a message throughout Scripture, from the beginning to the end. Love one another. Because God loved you more. And if you want to show God in your life, you have to love people around you. Sacrifice yourself for those who are around you. And then, well, I have a question for that. Why are we to love one another as brothers and sisters? Why should we love one another? Because Jesus promised that the world would not love us. That if you love one another, the world won't understand it. You sacrifice for one another, you will be unknown by the world, and people will hate you. We're the only shoulders that we have to lean on. That's why we're family. That's why we're so important. We love one another because the world ain't going to do it for us. And then number three. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him. When we're keeping the commandment of loving one another, Jesus abides in us, and we in Him. And we know by this that He abides in us, by the Spirit He has given us. We know that we are abiding in Jesus by the Spirit that is given to us. The Spirit that lives within us. And you say, well, Bill, the one who keeps His commandments is in Christ, and we know that we're in Christ because the Spirit's in us. Well, that just almost doesn't seem to fit very well, does it? What all connects back whenever you add in the very first verse that we read in verse 18. Loving in deed and in truth. You see, I hate to say this, but it's true. I am not a loving person. I am a selfish, self-serving person that cares nothing really about anybody else. If you met me before I was a Christian, none of you would recognize me. Because I had no desire to help anybody other than this person right here. And you know what? That's every one of us. Every single one of us. And when we realize that our lives are broke and cannot be fixed by anything that we do, then we plead to God for a good conscience. We're baptized for the remission of our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. The first gospel sermon, Peter said, if you are baptized for the remission of your sins, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does that do? Now, I can't go into all that the Holy Spirit does, because first off, I don't know. And second of all, it would take me a long time to explain it, even if I did know. But one thing that I do know about the Holy Spirit is He changes things in your heart. He changes things in your life. You become something that you don't even recognize afterwards. Whenever my heart changed from being self-centered to having a desire to serve my fellow brothers and sisters, I know there's something different in there. And that's how we know we abide in Jesus. Is that Spirit that goes against the worldly nature that we have in us. When we have that Spirit inside of us, then we know we abide in Christ. Now I want to go back to the beginning. And yet again, I want to say that I appreciate the love that the congregation here shows for one another. Because from the time that that I came and visited here 5 years ago until now. We have our struggles. We have our difficulties. But we do have a love for one another. Remember that love and what it means, and abide in that love, because that's so important. That's the glue that holds this congregation together. Because when you take yourself out of the picture and you start serving other people, it covers a lot of hurt feelings. People can do things against you that may hurt you. That may hurt your feelings. But you know what? If you take yourself out of the matter and you sincerely love someone, that will heal a lot of your hurt. And your joy will be made full. And now, if there is any who are outside of Christ, who are outside of the family of God, who are not brothers or sisters in this wonderful gift that God has given us, the church, that He in His wisdom planned before time began, if you would like to be a part of that, if you would like to plead to God for a clean conscience in that, submitting yourself to baptism, there's no better time than right now. But also, if there are some who have let this world get into your walk, if there are some Christians who have let Satan tempt you and pull you away and harden your heart to your brethren, well, you can make that right now by confession. Because John said in the very first of his 1 John that we've been reading from, he said, if we confess our sins one to another, that God is faithful to forgive us because He loves us. And so if you need anything today, anything at all, prayers, or you would like to be baptized, then come on forward as we stand and sing.